This episode is brought to you by Castwave Studios and Amazon. Go to www.castwavestudios.com and click the Amazon tab and search for everything from iPads to streaming video to Surge. So tasty. Doesn't cost you a thing and help keeps the studio producing free content. Go to castwavestudios.com and click the Amazon tab today.
Straightforward podcast. We just talk about all things Doctor Who on the fly, and I appreciate the fact that you didn't want to wait in the Tom Baker line to come watch us.
Yes.
That's appreciated.
For those at home who might not have, you know, a visual reference, there is currently a line of at least 100 people outside of here, and
they're all here to see me.
Well, totally. Actually, Brian, why don't you introduce our guest?
All right. You might know him from Tau Radio. You might also know him from various other podcasts.
Yep.
And my good friend, Ben Taylor. Yeah. What's going on?
Hello,
man?
How are you?
Doing great, man.
I am the token actual Englishman on the show.
Yeah.
At the Doctor.
We finally got one.
Actually, you know, it makes sense. We're 5 episodes in. We should have had an Englishman.
No, we're 4 episodes in.
Well, 5. This will be 5.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You know,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess that's right. A lot of my American friends do Doctor Who podcasts. And I'm like, look, you need at least have an Englishman on. Because otherwise you're not doing it right.
Yeah, we're not fulfilling the quota.
Yeah, it's true.
there's rules.
Yes.
There's standards.
I think the last one I guessed on was Playing Doctor with Ben and Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
And what they did is, through my entire segment, they played Rule Britannia in the background. Quite hilarious. Quite hilarious.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome.
So right. Where are we right now?
We are currently at Regeneration Who. We're on day 2 at this point.
Day 2, yeah.
Day 2. All right, Ben, now this is not our first Oni convention.
Yep.
But this is our first, like, fully fledged Doctor Who convention.
Yes.
Now, all right, what can you tell, what's the difference? I mean, have you been to other Doctor Who cons?
Yeah.
How would you say this differs from that?
From other Doctor Who conventions?
Yeah.
Well, it's in America for a start.
Well, that's
well,
one. That's a given.
It doesn't differ that much, actually. Yeah. It's a bunch of nerds who love Doctor Who
coming
together to talk about, live, and celebrate the greatest television show on the planet.
Which is Star Trek, no, I'm kidding.
I will hit you.
Now, yes, absolutely. Well,
any show that has Enterprise and Voyager as part of its repertoire will never be the greatest show on the planet. I'm sorry.
Very good point. Very good point.
Apparently, a member of our audience disagrees.
Just to riff on Voyager for a minute. Like,
okay, go ahead.
I need to tell you a story about another convention.
Okay.
I was in a bar, surprise, surprise, and I was talking to Jewel State from Firefly.
Oh, right on.
And this other gentleman walks up and we're chatting, and he's like, so what do you think of Star Trek? And I'm like, well, the original series is okay. Love me some Next Generation. Deep Space Nine is a Babylon 5 riff-off. Voyager is lost in space with a budget. And Enterprise should never have existed. And Jewel State, like, grabs me by the ear, like an irritated mother, and, like, drags me across. That's Rod Roddenberry you're talking to.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, yeah, what's your point? So, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
At least you're consistent. I'll give you that.
Look, I'm a guy who calls a spade, right?
No, I get
I don't
you.
Care who you are. If you're doing something bad, I'm going to tell you.
That's fair enough.
Stephen Moffat.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's just go ahead and throw it out there. One of the topics that we had for the show today was how we got into Doctor Who. Now, how did you get into Doctor Who?
I'm English.
Okay.
No, seriously. I've told this story a couple of times this weekend. I've literally been watching Doctor Who since the day I was born.
Right on.
There is photographic evidence. Like, it's the hospital waiting lounge. My father has me in his arms, all wrapped up, and Doctor Who's on the telly.
Oh, nice.
And we can't tell what episode it is because it's the opening credits. But, yeah, I've literally been watching Doctor Who since the day I was born. And in England, it's all we had for a while. We didn't get the original series of Star Trek till much later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's what we had.
Interesting.
That, Sherlock Holmes and James Bond, was kind of... the trifecta.
It's kind of like your Batman and...
Yeah.
You know, yeah, right on. Cool. How about yourself?
When I moved to Maryland, it was about 10 years ago, I think. We didn't get cable until about 2000. I moved here in 1999. We didn't get cable until 2008. And so pretty much the only entertainment we had was just a mountain of VHSs and Maryland Public Television, which if anybody here is from Maryland and you watch Maryland Public Television, you know there's a block of British comedies from about, I want to say, 7 p.m. all the way till like midnight. And Doctor Who was the very last thing that played.
They considered that a comedy.
Well, I think it was, once it got past like midnight, they switched to sci-fi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then it was Red Dwarf, Doctor Who, and Robot Wars.
Okay, yeah.
I could mess around with some Robot Wars.
Right.
And Red Dwarf is a good bridge because it's a comedy sci-fi.
Exactly, yeah. And I love Red Dwarf, but I love Doctor Who.
To this day, I still call people a smeghead.
Yes, I do too. I do too. But I started with Sylvester McCoy. The problem was is that public television jumped around from doctor to doctor. It never...
So it was never consistent.
No, it went, like, a good chunk of time I was with McCoy, then it went to Pertwee, then it went to Baker.
Yeah.
What an odd, like, wow, that's
an odd jump, but I fell in love with the Doctor.
Well,
with,
if we've learned anything from those, time is not a linear progression.
It's a big ball of wibbly-wobbly.
Well, no, the comparison I used last night during the canon debate,
yeah,
was if you took a ball of yarn,
yeah,
threw it in a tumble dryer,
mm-hmm,
threw it down the mud, in the mud, threw it down the stairs, and then did this and got it all knotted up. That's Doctor Who canon, right?
I'll go with that.
That sounds about right.
Like, nothing is in any form of chronological order anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. While it matters a little bit what order you watch stuff in, especially now, the older stuff not so much. Like I'd say pre Sylvester McCoy, there were no real overarching plot.
Yeah.
Arcs.
I mean, like, the Keys of Time, maybe, but that's about it.
Yeah.
That's
but they're also really good standalone stories.
It's subjective.
Yeah.
It is. Right. So, one of the other topics we had on here, before we get to the presentation of our awards and the quiz game we had planned, was a while ago, prior to the release of the 50th anniversary episode, there was the return of Paul McGann as
the Eighth Doctor.
And there was a, I don't know if, I mean, you probably remember this, there was a change.org campaign that went out shortly afterwards petitioning the BBC to give Paul McGann his own series.
Okay.
I think last I looked, it garnered like 400,000 signatures.
Right. Link every single one of those to the Big Finish website.
Yeah.
Where the Eighth Doctor has had over 60 or 70 audio adventures.
Oh, I know, and that's just, I love the Big Finish dramas. I'm just saying, I would also like to see him on TV, because we never...
I wouldn't at this point.
Really?
No. Like, maybe people who haven't heard the Big Finish stuff might want that,
mm-hmm,
but the Big Finish is my A canon. And if I see anything that contradicts any of that, mm-hmm, I'm going to be like, no. Like, that Night of the Doctor,
yeah,
that he was in, that short,
yeah,
was nothing like the Eighth Doctor we know from the Big Finish audios.
No.
So, I didn't get it. I didn't... Like, the Eight in the audios is my Eight.
That's a fair point. Because, honestly, I love Eight, and... you know, what is it? The Doctor Who TV movie's actually running concurrent with this as well.
Yeah. The Riff Tracks version, or whatever it is.
Oh, wait, are they Riff Tracking it,
yeah,
or is it they're just...
I don't know. They're doing something with it.
They're screening it right now. At least this is my knowledge, but yeah. I remember that
So
movie.
If you'd rather go to that, no.
No. God,
no. No, but, yeah.
Oh, Eric Roberts. That's...
Will Sasso's in that movie.
Yes, he is.
From MAD-TV. I was like...
Well, it was a Fox production.
I know it was, but it's still... It's weird.
Fox has a lot to answer for, man. They made the 1990 movie... They cancelled Firefly. Like they don't like sci-fi, do they?
No, they
like,
no. And you think they'd be
I mean,
all over
that explains that. Sliders.
Yeah.
That explains
yeah.
Sliders, like, to a T. It's like, well, you know, we don't care. We'll just do this. So.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Well, so we've come to that part of the program where we have our presentation for the Gallifrey Awards. This was
so we're like 10 minutes in at this point.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're churning through topics here.
Yes.
Man.
Well, I mean, here.
This doesn't. So, you're not living up to your name of impromptu. You're sounding quite planned at this point.
Well, actually, no. This is all just off the fly at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this was planned just because before the convention actually started, we put out a poll suggesting, you know, hey, who's your favorite doctor? Who's your favorite companion? Who's your favorite villain?
Me, and me.
Well, why didn't you vote?
I did.
Oh, did you?
They weren't options.
Yeah, there was a write-in option.
You had a write-in option.
Okay.
You need to read the fine print, man.
Fine print, schmine print.
And this is why you're not winning an award.
No. My complete apathy is why
I'm not winning an award. All right. Well, anyway, so we're only going to present two because the other two are actually have already been sent out to the winners, but we're going to announce them. So Best Doctor was won by Tom Baker. By actually...
Wah, wah.
Actually, I will admit, that was probably the closest margin out of all of them. It was like one or two votes difference between the fourth Doctor, David Tennant's Doctor, and Sylvester McCoy's Doctor.
Okay, so one of those is the correct answer.
Hmm? Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I voted for him.
there's a small problem when you're looking at a question like... And this is just... from me having talked about this so much over the last couple of days. When you look at a question like best doctor, right, mm-hmm. or favorite doctor, Tom Baker is always going to win because he has the most amount of people in his demographic. He is the doctor who had the most people watch him at any one time, right? Mm-hmm. David Tennant is the person who had the second most amount of people watch him of all time. Mm-hmm. So when they're one and two in a poll, you should never be surprised. Ever.
Oh, I didn't say I was surprised. I'm just saying I was actually surprised by the closeness of it.
Oh, okay.
That was surprising. I would have loved to have seen McCoy won.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised he even cracked top three.
Okay.
Now, I wanted him to crack the top three. Don't get me wrong. Because I would have loved to have walked up to him this weekend and been like, this is for you.
Yeah.
And he'd just be like, I'm eating. What are you doing? Leave me alone.
Hello.
Milky.
Oh, God.
What's Ian McKellen like?
Nice bloke.
Have you met him?
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
All right. Well. All right. So Tom Baker's award's already been sent to him in England. So, the second award was Best Companion. This one was actually a little bit more of a blowout, and it was Nicholas Courtney Alistair Gordon Lethbridge Stewart.
Now.
Yes.
Do you consider him a companion?
That's an interesting question.
Now, until yesterday, I held the opinion he's my favorite companion of all time.
Okay.
But then someone mentioned something to me that he wasn't a companion of the Doctor.
He was an associate.
He was the Doctor's best friend. Like, he is on the level of the Doctor. Like, the Doctor saw him as an equal, not as a companion.
Hmm.
And when someone said that to me, I was like, huh.
That makes a lot of sense.
Actually,
I mean, he was in the TARDIS once or twice, but he wasn't... But he never really traveled.
But even though he was in the TARDIS, he was still in the TARDIS on the Doctor's level.
Yes.
He was never the, oh, just sit in the corner and look pretty.
Oh, look, it's bigger on the end. Oh, okay, cool. Where can this thing go?
Because I remember in the three Doctors he entered, the TARDIS, he was just like, you've been using unit funds. What the hell, man?
That's true. I remember that.
Two humans have ever walked into the TARDIS and not been phased.
Okay, so who was the other one?
Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart and Rory Williams. Because he walks in and goes, you're an alien from another planet. I'm not surprised.
And he's the only one. That's... Move out the way.
All right. So
did you say someone had attack food?
Attack food?
Maybe I just misheard it. That's fine.
Did someone else saw you say attack food? Tech crew. Okay.
Tech crew. I was gonna say
that makes a lot.
Attack food is funnier.
Yeah, I'm gonna go
bring
with attack
more attack food.
Yeah, there you go. All right,
killer tomatoes.
All right, so the winner of the best villain award was the Master.
Okay.
Now the problem is that
which one?
Exactly. I just went with overall. Just
the answer is Roger Delgado.
Yeah.
Because Delgado Master is best Master.
Yeah.
What are your opinions on Missy, by the way?
All right.
That should answer that.
I love the character of Missy. I absolutely love the character of Missy. Michelle Gomez did a fantastic job with it. The problem is she was handicapped from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because in the very first episode, she goes, "Hi, my name's Missy." And literally everybody on the planet went, "Missy, mistress, female version of master, it's the master." I mean, even unborn children made the connection, right? And then Stephen Moffat proceeded to beat us over the head with a mystery for 13 more episodes. Everyone was like, "Oh, it's got to be more complicated than that." And then when everyone was like, "Oh, it could be this, it could be Clara, it could be Susan, it could be Jenny." They were like coming up with all these cool like stories.
Yeah. By the way, that would have been interesting if it was Susan.
Yeah.
I would.
I'm the Time Lord you left behind.
Yeah.
But then it was just like, "Oh, I'm the master." Everyone went, ugh. And the because we'd figured it out, the very first moment she was on screen, mm-hmm. the big reveal was disappointing.
Yeah. It's like
if she had just. Like, if they hadn't shown Missy at any other time in the season, and she'd shown up in Blackwater and been like, "Blah, blah, 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 I'm the master," I'd have been like...
See, that, you know, yeah, that would have worked a lot better, in my opinion. Also, I think...
But if you're going to beat someone over the head with a mystery, make it a mystery that you need to beat someone over the head. And there are worse things to be beaten over the head with than Michelle Gomez. Right, because she was fantastic.
I feel like the biggest reason is because, you know, everybody was like, when we were trying to, when they were announcing who the next Doctor was, and everybody was like, "Oh, well, it should be, you know, someone who's of color or someone who's a woman, yada yada yada." I feel like
no,
Moffat
was neither of those.
I mean, let
me explain that.
Okay,
it doesn't matter if they're of color. It doesn't matter if they're a woman. It matters if they're a good performer.
Okay.
Okay, who you get? Black, white, green, purple. Well, not purple people.
Purple eaters are the worst.
Asian, black, woman, dwarf. Like, I don't care who you get. Get me a good performer.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Peter Dinklage is the Doctor. Huh. I mean... Worst
he'd have a really hard time like operating the TARDIS.
He'd have to have like a little stool that would like swivel around the
jetpack,
or maybe like a hammock with like a pulley system. He just levitate himself. Anyway,
he has a big stick with like a
very
button.
Big. It's like his version of the selfie stick.
Yeah,
the TARDIS stick. Yeah.
Now
like,
okay.
Right, I'm getting out of Westeros.
I'm not going to be able to shift that image out of my head.
Yeah.
That was good. And then the last award we had...
You could have Kenny Baker as his companion.
Oh my god, he could be K-9.
Yeah.
He could totally be K-9.
He just rides around the K-9.
He's
like,
used to it.
No, he rides around the K-9 like Sir Didymus in Labyrinth.
Yes.
With a little lance. Like,
100 times,
like,
yes.
Like a sonic screwdriver, but it's a lance. It'd be great.
Oh my god.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'm sold. Someone needs to write that pilot right now.
I know,
get
right?
To BBC.
Yeah. All the 13th right. Doctor, and like the twist is that he's the Valyard, but it's like,
but
what happened?
Okay. Is the Valyard is said to be the last regeneration of the Doctor?
Is he?
Yes.
I thought he was supposed to be between the 12th and final.
No, he is said to be the final, because the reason why he is putting Colin Baker on trial is to get his remaining regenerations.
Ah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah. All right,
so the last award was for best cosplay of the convention, and unfortunately, I think he's waiting in line for Tom Baker. Womp womp. But has anyone here seen the gentleman in the Jackson Lake costume this weekend?
Yes.
That dude wins so hard.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a really good costume, but what goes into cosplay? Coming from a person who is an executive producer of a TV show called Viva La Cosplay,
uh-huh.
Cosplay is also about the production of the thing and the passion you put into it. And like, how much of that Jackson Lake did he buy? Like, how much of it was manufactured for him?
I think he said that he had actually had a friend make it for him. So,
okay. Yeah. So he didn't even make his own costume.
Okay. On the other side,
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, that's fair enough.
I saw. I think it's a season 18. Tom Baker, the burgundy scarf. It's season 18, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw him, and I think he made his own thing. So, if anything, that would
I'm
be
just
my bet.
I'm not saying he shouldn't win. I'm just giving talking points for the audience who aren't here.
Oh, no, yeah. I understand. And, see, the thing is, the reason why I say he wins is just because, I mean, yeah, he's definitely got the look down.
He looks like, yeah.
But he's definitely got the performance of it down. Because we were in the middle of interviews yesterday, and he was with one of the other interviewees. One of the other interviewers waiting around. Wait a second.
We're going to close the door because random cello music.
It's Westeros out there. That or it's like, is that the soundtrack from Passion of the Christ?
I don't know.
That's the soundtrack.
Either way, I'm uncomfortable. Anyway, I mean, I enjoyed it because, you know, he did the full act, and when he popped out the old screwdriver, I was just like, oh.
I need to check something.
Okay.
Carry on talking.
Yes. Right. I mean, honestly, I've seen a lot of, like, what some of the things I've seen the most, what are some of the things you've seen the most of so far this weekend, though?
Fourth Doctor.
Missy.
Well, I've seen a lot of Missy. I've seen, not even Fourth Doctor, I've seen so many scarves.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, that's a pot calling the kettle black at this point, but.
It's mine.
I have seen snowing.
It made sense at the time. Now it's like, I'm like, oh, why am I sweating? Oh,
why is it snowing in March, by the way?
I don't know.
I mean,
maybe April.
Yeah, no, like, it's spring. Why?
I don't know.
All right, so
best cosplay, I think, goes to the Jackson Lake performer.
All right.
And so we're going to present it to him later, but this is our award.
Huzzah. The Golden TARDIS Awards, presented by Impromptu Who.
Yes. Well. Okay.
Peanuts, get your peanuts.
We're not trying to record podcasts in here or anything. You jackass.
It happens. So.
Son of a bitch.
So our last bit of at least what we had planned was it's a game we made up called 6 Degrees of the Doctor. Now, anybody in the audience aware of the 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon? Yep. Okay. So we got at least one or two people who know what I'm talking about.
That's the entire audience, by the way.
I'll be right back.
Thank you for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
Okay. I have to go take care of something. Sorry.
All right, no problem.
Right on.
So we have a bunch...
I just want to find out who's playing the damn cello. All
right. So, we have a bunch of action...
So sad!
I know, it's making this really difficult. Like, I'm all happy because it's
Doctor
Who.
What makes a man, Mr. Lebowski?
Anyway, so we have a couple of gifts we're going to give away, and then actually everybody in the audience is going to take something with them,
yes.
Regardless.
So
for just showing up.
Thank you, guys.
Upside. So, we figured...
Did you see Jackson Lake for dinner?
I'm sorry?
No.
No.
It generates into the governor.
Oh my god.
Actually, interesting story. We did that at the cosplay last night.
Nice. The most interesting story about it was he was telling us last night that he had gone to WalkerCon dressed as Jackson Lake Doctor. And he actually went up to David Morrissey dressed as the... David Morrissey got a huge laugh out of it. There's a picture of him, and he's just cracking up in the picture. I'm just like, that is so good.
Not to be confused with Morrissey of the Smiths, you know, which is how I learned about the guy.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we have a
couple
things.
It was really nothing.
Yes, so we have a couple things we're going to give out, but it's a very easy game. I give you a name of something. And the idea is that I ask you a question that leads you to the next portion, and within 6 turns, you have to get it to a Doctor Who actor.
Yes.
Pretty simple. So, what do we have first?
First, we have a 10th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver. So, if anybody needs one or wants one...
You want one? All right.
Come on down, sir.
No, you can stay there, or you can come up if you want. Either or.
Whatever.
Da-da-da!
Da-da-da!
All right, so, for the 10th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver, let's see here. Okay, all right, so The first one is Nintendo. Nintendo, okay? Nintendo's mascot is...
Mario?
Correct.
Mario.
All right, so Mario is played by this actor in the 1993 film Super Mario Brothers. You got three guesses, so we'll give you three guesses per round. So
yeah.
If you miss it on the first time, you know, no big deal.
I know who it is, but I can't remember his name.
Would you like a hint?
Yes.
He played Smee in Hook.
Seems as if the person you came in with might know the answer. If you want to,
she's over there chewing it up.
I'm probably wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm not.
We'll allow a phone a friend if you're willing.
Sure.
Is it Dustin Hoffman?
Nope.
No.
No.
No, he was Hook, but close.
Yeah. Okay. That's the right movie.
My Jack. My Jack.
My Jack.
No.
No.
All right. I'll give you one more hint. He was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Know all his movies. I'm just trying to remember his name.
Okay.
What's the question?
It is currently, we started with Nintendo, moved to Mario, and now, who played Mario in the 1993?
Bob Hoskins.
We'll give you that one. All right, so Bob Hoskins played opposite this actor in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Yeah, I'm sorry. He played this actor played the villain in.
That's Christopher Lloyd.
That's correct.
Yes.
Christopher Lloyd played this character in the 1997 film Anastasia. The Disney animated film Anastasia.
That was not a Disney movie, by the way.
It's not a Disney movie?
That was a
Who was that?
What was his name? He did American Tail.
Don Bluth.
Don Bluth. That was a Don Bluth film. Did anybody see Rockadoodle, by the way? That movie was so weird.
Yeah.
Ugh, God.
Wouldn't say as weird as, but weird.
On the weird side of things.
Yes. When a little kid is saying, oh my God, I'm a furry, you have a problem with your movie. Alright, anyways. I'll give you a hint. He is a historical figure who might have been in a epic rap battle.
Which is pretty much everyone ever at this point.
She's twitching out over there, so...
No, she knows.
Okay.
Well, give him the answer.
It just took me a minute to get to the name. Rasputin.
Yes.
Okay. All right. This,
I was thinking the song in my head.
Right. So, this doctor played Rasputin in Peter and Alexandra. And I should specify, every final answer is an incarnation of the Doctor, so.
You have three guesses.
You got three guesses.
So you got a 3 in 13 chance.
Never tell me the odds. I'm sorry, I had to throw it out there.
Wrong franchise, sucker fool.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Remember, you got three guesses, so you can, if you think of one and it's wrong, you got a couple more. You got a couple more chances.
What year was that from?
It was in the 1970s.
Give him a hand. Who said
that? Patrick Troughton?
Nope. So you got two more guesses. You're on the right track. It's one of the more classic doctors, so. Obviously, since it's a 70s film.
Would you like a hint, sir?
Sure.
His run was around the same time as this movie came out. So remember, 1970s.
Narrows it down to about two. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have two guesses. So.
And you have two guesses. Yeah, there you go. So,
if you need to burn one, feel free to burn one.
All right. Start the first one.
Nope.
Nope.
What was the question?
I don't know. I
wasn't paying attention. Sorry.
Who
I'm
played
sorry,
Rasputin in Peter and Alexandra?
Kennedy assassination, William Hart.
Yeah. And you've already done Patrick Troughton. Mm-hmm. And remember, it's a 70s run doctor, so that leaves only two answers.
Probably wrong. Is it Tom Baker?
Yes, it is.
Congratulations.
There you are.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So, we have another one up here, and it is a Special Weapons Dalek.
Special Weapons Dalek.
Special Weapons Dalek. And would you like to win a prize?
Sure.
Come on down. You don't want to play?
I mean, regard, like I said, everybody's getting something.
Everybody leaves with something, so.
Yeah.
She showed up, because she gets one.
Yeah. Everybody's getting something or other, so. All right, so we'll go with... Okay, we'll go with this one.
Kevin's Smith.
Do you need to open it now?
Thinking.
Yeah. No. He's
that excited. Hey, he's more than welcome to.
Kevin, let's go with Kevin Smith.
John's done with this one. No, actually, that's a little too hard. All right, no, I'll go with this one. All right, so this one starts with Kevin Smith.
Okay.
more, you know. Easy one. All right. So, Kevin Smith directed this famous actor in Mallrats. Remember, you get three guesses per round.
Which one of the like 12 famous actors in that movie?
Yeah. It is a male actor. Would you like a hint?
Who did he play?
They said who he played would not help me at all. I've never seen the movie.
That's all right. All right, so we'll give you a hint.
Here, I got a hint. He was the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
In what?
He was the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
Oh.
I don't think she'd get that reference, but okay. I know you got it, yeah. We'll give you another hint. He's playing a superhero in an upcoming film.
Matt Damon?
No, the other one.
But close.
The other one.
Shoot. God, he
sucks. Exactly.
Sounds a lot like a duck.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, she got it. She totally got it. All right,
all right.
Brad Pitt, Ben Affleck,
right.
Or Matt Damon.
If you think about the amount of famous people that are in Mallrats.
You know what? You have Shannon Doherty.
You have Shannon Doherty. You have Ben Affleck. You have Michael Rooker. You have Jason Lee.
Right.
Yeah.
You have JT London.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... Stan Lee. Anyone ever heard of him?
No.
Who is the Stan Lee man you heard?
All right. So, now, Ben Affleck is currently married to this actress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Successfully with two very beautiful children.
Good for him. I'm
proud. She was his co-star in a movie. And it was not Geely.
That is where my mind went to. Crap. Oh. Jennifer Garner?
Yep.
Yes.
Wow, she is on fire.
You are
She's
fire.
Broken through these.
I know it was a gen, but I was
okay.
Are you a wizard? I see the Ravenclaw. All
right. So,
I am.
Are you a wizard?
So Jennifer Garner was killed by this actor in Daredevil.
Can I phone a friend?
Yeah.
Because I know he's
seen it.
Colin Farrell.
Hey.
There you go.
All right.
All right.
Really need to watch more movies.
All right. Colin Farrell played opposite this actor in In Bruges.
That is not a correct bell, by the way. That is our host. Getting a text from his girlfriend.
I need to hear more. I really do.
If you need a hint, I have a hint.
I will take a hint.
He played the villain in Harry Potter.
That's
Which
Ralph
villain
Fiennes?
In Harry Potter?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Ralph Fiennes. All right. So Ralph Fiennes. Played the I'm sorry, this actor, this Doctor Who actor, played the younger version of Ralph Fiennes in Bruges as well. So it's a young actor In Bruges came out 2008-2009.
Yes,
Matt Smith, you won.
Matt Smith, fantastic.
You're on fire. Like, you got all those questions right all on your arm.
This girl right? is on fire.
Yeah.
I'll witness that. We're not recording this at all.
All right, and we get sued. All right.
So,
are you sure
so
you
just so you know, I just went outside for a second. There is a woman sitting about 20 feet away from the door of the room where we're recording, playing a cello, hooked up to an amplifier.
That is metal as hell, dude. That is awesome.
Also, like, kind of irritating.
Who thought that would be a good idea next to the room where they're recording podcasts?
I don't know.
I mean, yes.
We have a soundtrack.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
All right. So, as part of the giveaways we're doing, because that was all our big prizes for the game portion. So now we're just actually coming to the giveaway portion now. So, who likes comics?
I like comics.
You like comics? Here, I'll give you some comics.
Do not give me any of those comics.
Why not?
Because I probably have them all.
fair enough.
Okay.
All right. So. I have issues 1-6 of 12th Doctor's run. Anyone's welcome to have them. Since you didn't play the game, you're more than welcome to have them.
As a thank you for
showing up.
And
if you are not doing so already, please take the time to look into the new Titan books that are coming out now.
Yeah.
We have more than one issue, so we're just giving them out.
They are divisive amongst the community. Some people think they're really good. Some people think they're really bad.
I've read all the ones that just came out. The ones I just gave away, which is the first six issues
of Peter Capaldi.
I love them,
but it's great. But it doesn't sound like Peter Capaldi.
I know.
Now, I'm willing to give them a break because that's probably the story arc they had to write before they'd seen anything from Peter Capaldi.
Yes,
and that's the.
However. They have no excuse for getting the voice of David Tennant wrong. And if you've read the 10th Doctor book, it doesn't sound like the 10th Doctor.
I haven't read 10 yet.
The 11th Doctor book is spot on. So,
Is it the same writing team on all three? Or?
No.
No.
Now, from what I understand, they're also going to be doing a 9th Doctor book here
it's
soon.
It's a 9th Doctor mini-series, 6-issue mini.
Okay.
To see if it catches on.
I'm sure.
I mean,
it will.
Hopefully, because I like Christopher Eccleston.
Yes, but not.
Christopher Tennant is my favorite Doctor,
isn't he?
He is.
As I was talking about before with Andrew Cartmell, he's a very divisive Doctor, because he's the Doctor that a lot of people were first introduced to, but he's a Doctor who's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and he has a heavy dose of survivor's guilt, which is not afflictions that many people have actually dealt with before. So they're not familiar with what he's going through. And if you consider the fact that there's that speech in Rose where he's like, I feel every second of every moment of every day, all the time. And you take into account that on all of those seconds, he's killing the Time Lords at all of them. You kind of get the PTSD a bit.
Yeah.
Right? But not a lot of people are looking into it that way. So he's a very divisive character among the community.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Certainly he was not... He wasn't the doctor I... Like, I was told, like, look, just go into Blink and go from there. Or, like,
I'm sorry.
Or, like, my first episode was Blink, and then I was like, okay, and then I started watching David Tennant's stuff from, you know, The Christmas Invasion onward, and then only after that did I go back. The first season, which I actually thought was a really good season. And it had a lot of really interesting, like, you know, Simon Pegg's in that season.
Yep.
Which I thought was really cool. I was like, Simon Pegg, holy crap.
I wish they hadn't done. I wish they'd have saved Simon Pegg to actually play the Doctor.
I would have loved to have seen that, personally. I love Simon Pegg.
With Nick Frost as his companion.
Yes.
Just have Sean and Ed on the TARDIS.
Yes.
All right, we've got to fight the Sebastian Narada. Yeah, boy! Yeah, all right, cool.
I would have loved to have seen that 100 times. Yes. You know, actually, Radio Times did a poll of the top 10 New Who episodes. Yeah. I think was it just in time for the 10th anniversary. And Blink was number one.
Yeah, but if you look at it, it's actually a really bad Doctor Who episode.
It is.
It's a generic time travel episode that could happen in any sci-fi story.
No, and I think it was, what was it, the second one? I think Vincent and the Doctor came in second.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
I feel like that could have been number one.
I wish they got someone else to play the art director in that, though. Because they could have given Bill Nighy a better role than another in another episode. Because while he was great as that, it's a waste of Bill Nighy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would have loved to have seen him, like, throughout the entire episode, not just, like, six lines.
Like, at the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he would make a really good master.
Yeah.
He would I'd watch Bill Nighy master.
Bill Nighy master opposite, like, Peter Capaldi.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Not saying I want to get rid of Michelle Gomez.
No,
doing a great job, but those two playing off each other would be great.
Have you heard the rumor?
No, but I have avoided all spoilers for next season.
Okay. So, all right, fine. I won't talk about it.
With the exception of one thing, which is the only thing I genuinely enjoyed about Series 8, which we'll talk about later on the Series 8 panel, was I loved Capaldi's Doctor. I loved that he was grouchy. I loved that he was angry and moody and he had attack eyebrows and he was Scottish so he could complain about stuff. I loved it. And then there's suddenly this press release from Stephen Moffat going, yeah, we're going to mellow him out next season.
No.
I hate you so much.
That's the thing. His grouchiness, like his more vicious attitude. Yeah, that's what made him different.
I mean, that was a fantastic, like, that and him, like, looking at Clara and going, I'm not your boyfriend.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool, that sets up everything I want to know about this Doctor going forward. You know, like, this is what I should expect from future episodes, which I liked because, I'll be honest with you, it kind of became the Doctor and his girlfriend show for a little while. It really did, and I wasn't really a fan of that.
I will say this, however, in that first episode, I can't remember what it's called.
Deep breath.
Yeah, deep breath. At the end of the episode, where the phone starts to ring, and it's Matt Smith on the other end.
Yeah,
I cried manly tears that day. Manly tears. Now they'd had a viewing of that at Intervention. Do you remember?
Yes, they did.
And I didn't go, and mainly because I wanted to experience it on my own, because I'm one of these people that will, and especially with the Stephen Moffat era, you kind of have to like analyze every episode, because as I was saying to people yesterday, there's no such thing as a resolution in the Stephen Moffat episode era, because everything he does he leaves as a dangling thread so he can come back to it later for a mystery he hasn't thought up yet.
Yeah. Which was kind of what the crack in the wall was for Matt Smith's run.
Yeah, but that was Stephen Moffat again.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, when I had that moment where Matt Smith came on screen and he's like laying there dying, basically, I'm like, I'm
calling you from Trinzalore.
I was like, I'm glad I am not here. I'm glad I'm not in a room full of people, because my tears would disturb all of them.
Why is that manly, man crying, manly mommy?
Manly tears. And that's the thing is recently I've hated Doctor Who. I have this love-hate relationship with Doctor Who. I hate the episodes. I love the Doctors. Matt Smith's Doctor was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Peter Capaldi's Doctor is fantastic. I've liked maybe one episode per season of the last three seasons of Doctor Who. And it's just because I don't know whether they're just writing stories that don't appeal to me. I'm getting companion fatigue. I'm tired of the companion being the Deus Ex Machina that solves everything. I want Doctor Who to be about the Doctor again. I want the Doctor to be the one that's saving the day. Because ever since the show has come back, the Doctor has never been the one to save the day. Rose was Bad Wolf. Martha's the woman that walked the earth. Dr. Donna. Amy is the girl who reimagined the universe. She remembered the universe. She remembered the Doctor. He came back to life. She was the girl who waited. Clara is the woman that jumps into the time stream. Clara is the woman who, because of her relationship with Danny Pink, the Cybermen don't take over the universe.
Yeah.
I want the Doctor to save the day again. The last time the Doctor truly saved the day was kind of Doomsday. Kind of.
Kind of, sort of, not really. What are you going
to
do?
Sorry, I'm procrastinating on why Who is bad.
No, that's all right.
And we don't actually have to wrap up that quickly because the podcast after us cancelled.
Oh, yeah.
So. Oh, sweet. I actually wanted to give you this.
What is it?
It's a print we did for people who were coming.
Oh, so. Marvelous. Thank you.
So everybody in the crowd got one.
Lovely.
Hi there.
In fact, the ones who just came in.
Hello.
Hello. This is a print we
have nowhere
for everybody
to put
who...
this.
No problem.
I have nowhere to put
here.
This. No, look, I'm going to be doing, like, panels all day. Like, I don't want
to
be...
Well, here, I'll tell you what. I'll hold on to it for you.
And I'll get it tomorrow?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
cool.
Okay, cool.
Right on. Because you got a panel going on at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, I have a panel at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, Podcast Graphic Counter. I've got the Series 8 Hit or Miss later today. I've got the Playing Doctor recording later today. I'm interviewing Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred live on stage tomorrow.
Nice.
Oh. Like... I just got to literally right before this panel, I got to interview Andrew Cartmell.
Oh man, seriously, that's the thing. When we came to, because we got to interview people yesterday.
Yeah.
We interviewed Andrew Cartmell and Sophie Aldred and Nicola Bryant.
Nicola Bryant, yeah.
And Terry Malloy.
Yeah.
And the two that I really wanted to interview were Colin Baker and
Sylvester
McCoy.
Everyone
again, well, that's because it was Sylvester McCoy's Doctor that got me hooked on Doctor Who.
Yeah, I'm very outspoken about the fact that Seven is my favorite Doctor.
Oh no, you're not. I agree totally.
No, I say outspoken as in I say it a lot.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What outspoken means.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have a different definition.
We learned something today.
Yay!
English.
English.
Yes, proper English.
Yes.
Not American English.
We bastards with ours.
These are trousers, not pants. Pants are what go under the trousers.
You mean boxers?
No, I mean,
underwear?
No, boxers are boxers.
Uh-huh.
What you call briefs, we call pants.
Okay. That explains Rory just being like, I'm in my pants. And I'm like, well, no, those are underwear. You
Congratulations.
You silly.
You silly goose. No, like... I told this story to a crowd earlier that I was just randomly entertaining before the Andrew Cartmell, but like when I first moved over here, like 13 years ago, one of the very first things I did was go shopping for like pens and pencils and paper and all that kind of stuff. And I walked into a Staples and I walked up to the young lady and I was like, can I get a packet of pencils with rubbers on the end? In this country, it's very, very bad. In England... What you call the razors are called rubbers because they use the act of rubbing out. And when I did this in the store, she called for security.
you do this. It's like,
yes.
Okay.
But no, back to Doctor Who. Yes. Let's not segue that badly.
It's fine. Have you been back? And if anything else, have you been to the Doctor Who experience?
No. I only returned to England once since I moved here, and it's when my dad died. And I will probably never go back.
Oh, right on. Well, I'm glad you enjoy it here.
Yeah. Well, on top of that, it's like I don't really have any family left in England. Like, I don't get on well with my mother. I divorced most of my father's family when they couldn't be bothered to show up to his funeral. Like, I'm just like, my family's here now. Like,
right
my
on.
Friends, my wife, my... Like, and I wouldn't be here if I didn't enjoy it. Like, I was telling... Again, I'll tell the story. England, square foot for square foot, is approximately the size of Maine, which is the second smallest state in your union behind Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My entire country is the size of the second smallest state in your union. So when you have a certain set of things you enjoy doing, by the time you've lived there for 25 years... You have done everything there is to do. Twice. Like, there's only so many times you can go to Stonehenge and go, ooh, rocks. Like, then the Pandorica.
I wonder if the Pandorica's down there.
Yeah. Funny story, it's not. people have looked.
And gotten arrested.
Yes. Because you're not actually allowed on Stonehenge. I don't know whether you know this.
Yeah,
all the scenes that you see with him actually, like him walking on Stonehenge, they're not actually at Stonehenge. It's in a studio. You're not allowed within like 30 feet of Stonehenge because the rocks in Stonehenge are decaying so badly they're eroding.
Oh no,
Let's talk about less depressing things.
Okay, right on. Cool.
So your favorite Doctor is 7.
Yeah.
Your favorite Doctor is 9.
9, 10.
Right. Who's your favorite Doctor?
9.
10. Question mark?
10.
10.
10.
What about you? Who's your favorite Doctor?
Nine.
And the first Doctor?
Oh.
Like Patrick, like William Hartnell?
For him, the first Doctor.
There is Christopher Eccleston. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's mostly a Christopher Eccleston crowd.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really cool.
I should have worn my costume.
I am okay with this.
Yeah, because... I mean, it's... Because the thing is that Christopher Eccleston... I've never heard a person say they outright dislike Christopher Eccleston's run, but
well, I mean, it's so short, you know.
Right, but it's universally, it's also discussed that it's like their least favorite of the new run, and I don't see why.
Of people's least favorite of the new run, because as I was saying earlier, they don't understand the character or what the Doctor is going through.
Yeah,
right. Like they don't understand that.
Well, not only that, but the main villain is just freaking ridiculous. The Slitheen?
Well, no, the main villain in the Doctor's original run is the Daleks.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about in that series.
It's
it's the Daleks, but, you know, they introduced a new villain called the Slitheen.
The new villain, yeah.
And they are just god-awful.
Yeah.
You know, they got these stupid faces, and they walk around, and they fart all the time. It's like, no. I mean,
if I did that, I'll just hang out with my friends. Like
kid show.
The thing for me,
but it's not a kid show anymore.
No,
it has to operate on many levels now. It was originally conceived as an educational program.
Yeah.
The reason it was originally conceived as an educational program, not a lot of people know, is in England, because everything's funded by the government. If you were an educational show at the time, you got a bigger budget.
That explains a few things. So. Well, we're going to move away from, like, you know, actually teaching something, and we're just going to tell the sci-fi story. Okay, cool. You get to film in a quarry the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Yay.
But I learned about time travel from Doctor Who. So it's
very educational.
Right. Yeah. It's still educational to this
day. So here's a question that I've been asked many times this weekend. If you could add something to the Doctor Who mythos, if you could, like, create a spin-off or have something happen, or what would you do?
I personally, if I had a choice of anything, and this is one of the things we talked about with Andrew Cartmell last night, is I would like to see the Cartmell Master Plan enacted.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that. And when I asked him that yesterday, just because the Cartmell Master Plan, you know, explains more of what the Doctor was, what his significance to Time Lord society was, but he thought that at this point, that would be, you know, giving way too much backstory, and that it would just lead to have to reset the Doctor again.
Well, I was talking about that with Andrew in the interview before, and the whole point of what he was doing wasn't to bring specificity to the history of the Doctor; it was to bring mystique. He was trying to muddy the waters again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I'm just saying. I've looked into it, and I've seen what could have been, and I was like, oh.
What would you add, Brian?
I want that.
I don't know. Maybe do a miniseries on some of the history. And, like, you don't have to focus on the Doctor, but I'd like to hear more about Gallifrey.
Okay.
I would like to see more about, you know, Gallifrey society, because there's a difference between Gallifreyans and Time Lords. I would like to see what the difference is between those.
Yeah.
I would like to see what it takes to make, you know, someone...
The funny thing is both the things you guys are asking for is explained in the Big Finish audios.
Is it?
There's a whole sub... called Gallifrey, which is based around Romana being president of Gallifrey.
Interesting.
It's great. What I would do is one of two things. I would have a spin-off that involves the Paternoster gang, Vastra Genestrax.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
And I would have them play it completely straight. It would just be a detective story, like a Victorian detective. They wouldn't address the fact that they're lizards or potatoes or lesbians or any of that. They would just play it completely straight.
Yeah.
Like, because there's all those scenes where, and I'm hearing Misty Mountains in
out there,
and I'm
getting
chills. I'm literally getting chills. But I'd have them, because there's that scene where she, like, in Deep Breath, where she turns around and goes, go put these around the dinosaur, and they're just like, okay.
All right.
Like,
I'm on it.
They're like, it's not effective.
Love you.
The second thing I would do is I would have a small sub arc called Unit. I'd have it would be like maybe a short like 2-3 episode.
Yeah.
And it would involve Canton Everett Delaware the Third.
Yes.
Going to the United Nations and going, look, aliens exist, we need to deal with them. And have Canton Everett Delaware the Third form Unit.
Awesome.
I think that would be fantastic. Because the Doctor causes...
I mean, because, yeah, that's in the 60s. Yeah. So it's very... Yeah, you could have that branch, you know...
Because I want to see more of Canton Everett Delaware the Third. Just because I want more... More of the Shepherd family.
Absolutely.
And it would, and the way I would do it is I would have William Morgan Shepherd, the older one, start the series, and he was telling a story to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into flashback, so we get Mark, the younger Shepherd,
mm-hmm.
and then the older Shepherd comes back at the end.
And he could be telling the story to Captain Jack, maybe.
Yeah, Captain Jack, to River, to...
Yeah. It's like... Yeah, and like okay, like you, that way you can kind of have like a Unit Torchwood kind of crossover. Do you think we'll ever see more Torchwood? By the way,
no,
I don't either.
Miracle Day was fantastically bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
No, it was fantastically bad.
Do you think that we're ever gonna see like any more? I mean, because we got like we heard like things about the Time War. Do you ever think they'll go into that?
No.
The
idea about the Time War being mysterious is the point.
Yeah.
The whole point of the Time War... Like, this is going to come up again later on this afternoon when we do the Series 8 panel, but in Day of the Doctor, the 50th anniversary.
Day of the Doctor.
I just call it the 50th. He finds out Gallifrey isn't blown up. Why does it take him an entire season to go look for it? The one thing you've wanted... literally forever. Why does it take him an entire season to go, well, better go look for it now?
Because, you see, he's got to deal with shit with Clara. Sorry. Sorry. I was good for so long.
Yeah, me too. I've been doing that all weekend. Like, I've been like... But, yeah. That's the thing, is he could have taken Clara with him. Or he has a time machine. Clara isn't with him all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's very clear she's spending time with Danny. Da, 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 da. Go off and look for it in the meantime.
I mean, who's to say that he, you know, maybe has.
You know what I really would have liked to have happened at the end of season 8, which would have made me very, very fantastically happy? Is like there was a big face off between Missy and the Doctor. And the Doctor goes, you know what? Gallifrey's not dead. And for Missy to just go white, just like abandon the Cybermen, turn on the Cybermen, kill mm-hmm. them, and go, okay, let's go look for it. And then Missy and the Doctor run off in the TARDIS together and have adventures. I think that would have been because they wouldn't have been able to trust each other, and it would have been such a great dynamic.
Well, now I'm sad that didn't happen.
Yeah, instead we got Cyber Break.
That was horrible.
I just I don't know.
Oh no, Ben, don't retreat.
I fucking... I'm so sorry. It's so ironic, too.
On my case for like 5 minutes.
All right, well...
And then you drop an F-bomb.
I think they're losing it, so you want to go ahead and wrap up?
Yeah, absolutely.
All I want to say is Cyberbrick can go away.
Yes,
like
I agree.
The Brigadier had such a great write-off with Matt Smith, like that where he makes the phone call and he finds out his best friend has finally passed on, and that's the moment that makes him face the inevitable. And then we get Cyber Brig. And why do we only get Cyber Brig? Where's Cyber Ian and Barbara and Adric and like all the other dead companions?
Well, isn't Ian still alive?
I think, yeah, Ian is.
Because at the beginning of the Doctor sign, Ian Chesterton is the
yeah, he's the headmaster of
the headmaster yeah. of Coal
but,
Hill.
But the point being is, like, where are all the other dead companions? Why is it only the Brigadier?
I'd like to see Susan come back.
Well, I would have liked Missy to be Susan. But anyway, let's wrap up.
All right. So, Ben, where can we find you on the internet?
Okay, best place to find me, at Bob T. Goldfish on Twitter. If you want the story behind that name, you got to ask me. Twitch.tv/BobTheNinjaGoldfish. You'll find me streaming all kinds of video games and cool stuff on there. You can find me over at Tower Radio for my podcast, Three Drinks, Two Guys, One Topic, where we drink a lot, there's two of us, and we absolutely fail to stay on topic.
Mm.
And over at Pop Culture Uncovered, I am the host of a podcast called Pop Culture Uncovered Declassified that is not as ominous as it sounds. It's just more about me. We have another podcast, which is a general news show. Mine's more of an interview show.
Mm.
So I get guests on, I interview them.
Awesome.
I've already had Matthew Dow Smith agreed to come on. Andrew Cartmell has agreed to come on.
Yep.
So I've got quite a few cool stuff that's going to come out this weekend.
Nice.
Awesome.
All right, well, you can find our shows at www.castwavestudios.com. Impromptu. Actually, this episode will probably be up either later this evening or tomorrow, and you'll find it on our website, or you can visit us at www.facebook.com/impromptuwho.
The www is the most important part of that address, by the way. Yeah. Just remember that you have that in there.
And the HTTP
///
Yeah. You can find Brian at bmassey1987 on Twitter. You can find me at bgnpodcasts, plural, at Twitter. And let's see.
Like, that's... Sorry. I know we're trying to wrap this up, but, like... That's the most significant innovation in a very long time, that we don't have to put the www.ht, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I was talking about someone, like, if you did, because there's, for some reason, there's a DeLorean here, right? And I'm the biggest Back to the Future fan there is. Like, I wrote a comic called Bark to the Future from my friend's webcomic. It's all about time traveling dogs, right?
Yeah.
I'm a huge dog Back to the Future fan. If you took a kid from now, because in Marty McFly's day, he went back 30 years, right? You took a kid now, and you put him in 1990, they would not know how to do it. They go, get to X place. And they'd be like, okay, pull up my map on my... What do you mean there's no cell coverage? Like, they don't know how to do anything. Sorry, let's wrap up.
All right.
Well, we want to thank you for coming for Impromptu Who, and... Yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much.
Nobody catchphrase?
I know. I'm trying.
With Impromptu Me and Impromptu You.
Oh, see? There you go. I don't know.
You and me are Impromptu Who.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, there you go.
Hooray!
Yeah!
You're here for its inception.
Woo! All right.
Catch y'all later. Peace.
All right, thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much.
Impromptu Who is a Castaway Studios production. For other shows and more, go to www.castawaystudios.com.